Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome all to the Umbrella Academy. Today in class, we'll be doing a little bit of group study. Everybody will be getting together and working with each other and figuring out a project, and then I'm going to grade you very harshly on it. I'm Alex.
Yeah, I'm Justin. As always, in the back of the room, up to no good. But today, I take this seriously because monkeys in space are my area of interest. Well, I hope to one day be that.
All right. Justin in space. I'm Pete.
And we are going to be talking about season 2, episode 5, I want to say, of Umbrella Academy.
That's right.
Valhalla. Nice. Way to want to say it.
Thank you. It's something I wanted to say, and that I said it out loud. Wow. We are halfway through the second season here. We're making our way through it. And as mentioned, the band is finally getting back together this episode, which is very exciting. Now, requisite spoiler warning at the top here. If you haven't watched the episode, turn away, because we're going to spoil it right off. But
turn away.
Turn away. Just turn your head away. But also probably take off your headphones.
Yes.
Because turn your head... If your headphones are still on, you're still going to hear it.
That's the thing about headphones, is they're always in your ears. They stuck there.
Yeah,
permanently. The good ones are, anyway.
Yeah, well, my trick, I like to take like a little bit of crazy glue and put it on the tip of the headphones, and then I stick it in my ear.
It's just creepy to hear you say crazy glue and the tip.
What?
That was the name of my funk band.
Nice. Yeah, crazy glue in the tip.
Yeah. What's up, everybody? Let's get ready to fuck it up.
We are crazy glue in the tip.
So we kick off with a little bit of Pogo's origin story, find out about him, which is very exciting to see little baby Pogo move over, man. Baby Yoda. Who even cares? Baby Yoda, you suck. You're the second best baby in space right now. Baby Pogo, way better. But that's not the bulk of the episode. The bulk of the episode, as mentioned, is kind of the whole gang finally coalescing together. Everybody is off on their separate or group missions, dealing with the ramifications of the things they've done in the previous episodes, including Vanya and Sissy wake up together. They reach the opposite of a turning point here, I think, where things revert to normal, though not emotionally normal, which is kind of sad, as Carl comes back into town and he just wants to have a nice time with his wife. Meanwhile, the Handler and Lila finally kind of pull the lid off of what they've been doing here. We don't fully know what's been going on, but they certainly reveal themselves to Five in a big fight scene. Some stuff is going on there. But right in the middle of the episode, everybody reunites over at Marty's. They have a big reunion scene. They download each other on everything that's been going on with the apocalypse, with messing up time. They start to break up a little bit, but still stay in groups, to the point that Vanya, Klaus, and Allison have a really nice bonding sesh. They get drunk, promise to have some tacos, but don't have some tacos, which is very disappointing.
Tacos. Weird. Weird they didn't very get to the
weird.
Tacos.
Very weird. Huge continuity error. They do have a fun dance sequence in the hair salon, so that's nice. And on the other end, the Handler and Lila trick the Swedes and kill one of them. One of them is just a leg. That's where you get the title of the episode, Valhalla. There is a Viking funeral for the leg by the end of the episode. There's a beautiful Swedish cover of Hello by Adele plays in the background. By the end, we get Vanya, as mentioned, is confronting Sissy. Klaus goes to break up with his cult, maybe. And Allison is going to finally confess everything to Ray, while Luther and Diego get an invitation from Reginald Hargreaves. And that's where we pretty much leave everybody. So that's the broad overview there. Let's jump into this episode. And I actually want to start with the middle, if that's okay.
Talking about because we can skip over this Pogo stuff. No one on this podcast wants to talk about it.
Welcome back. I want to talk about Pogo in a second, but I think like the meat of the episode,
I just,
I know,
I just want to say,
get back. We're going to talk about Pogo Pete.
I was excited because I thought I was going to get a whole Pogo app. I thought the whole app was going to be Pogo. I was super pumped. That was a little disappointing.
Pete, let me just give you some advice. Go to the zoo.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, man.
That's like 24-hour Pogo at the zoo.
I'd also mention, for those who don't know, Pete's one-man funk band was called Pogo Pete.
Pogo Pete. Oh, boy.
My one man, no instruments, right? It was just mouth sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was all mouth harps.
Pete's like the Biz Markie of this podcast.
Oh, that is, I've always said that from the very beginning of this specific podcast. Said Pete's the Biz Markie.
Well, I want to talk about
he's
the
just
middle.
A friend, but he's not.
I want to talk about the middle first because most of the first season of Umbrella Academy was so much about everybody's back together. They hate each other. They immediately split apart. Like, you get them in a room together, yes. And you can feel this tension of nobody wants to spend time to each other. They want to get out of that room as quickly as possible, to the point, personally, I found, of frustration. Versus here, everybody reunites, and granted, they do break apart pretty quickly after that. So I could see how some viewers would look at it as the same sort of pattern. But it felt so different here and so satisfying to see everybody together. Did you have the same feeling? And why do you think it worked here when it didn't necessarily work in the first season?
I think Vanya's a huge part of that. Like, Vanya is a lot more a part of the family now. And there isn't this huge separation. And she doesn't feel outed because she's kind of starting fresh with her mind wiped. Vanya was hilarious. She was just chilling, and then Diego was giving her crap. I mean, the back and forth, it really felt like family dynamics. And the fact that Vanya can, she really is the linchpin, I think, a lot of holding this family together.
I think that Pete's hitting on it, what I think as well, like, they like each other. And last season, I think they didn't like each other. And this season, they actively do. They're out of their comfort zones, everyone, because they're lost in time. And the fact that they can come together, despite the circumstances, makes it just a much more pleasant experience. Even though, like, they are going after each other, and Five is sort of a bummer, and Diego's a sourpuss, they're still able to, like, have their old relationship. I think Klaus, it really keeps it light. He holds the family together. I think you're right, Pete. Vanya not being a problem, and her being sort of on more equal footing now, I think makes for a better dynamic. But Klaus is the one that sort of shaves off the edges between all of them, I think.
Well, yeah. I mean, also, I mean, while we're talking about kind of linchpins, like, number Five, like, giving that kind of passionate speech of, like, what's got to get done and stuff like that, like, he tries to be... But it's so horrible at it, it literally, like, drives Luther away. Like, it's interesting because he feels like he should be the leader, it seems like, but he's not very good at it at all.
Well, it's also interesting because if you think about it, in the first season, they were driven apart by tragedy, by the death of Ben, right? And then brought back together by Reginald Hargrave's death. So they were sort of forced back together. And to use improv terms, a lot of the season.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah,
leaning in.
I see you perk it up there. But a lot of the first season was very no but, right? Where they were like, hey, we should really deal this thing. No, but I want to get out of here. And then they would leave. Here, it does feel much more.
And just real quick lexicon check. No, but, like, all improvisers have no ass. They're just, like, very flat ass. So that's where the term no but comes
from. Yeah, that's an inside, you know.
Little inside baseball.
Yeah, yeah. My suggestion is football.
What? Oh. yes, and I love football.
Yeah, nice job. Zalba did it, bro. It happened.
Man, five classes, $1,500. Pete, it finally paid off. Thank you.
Worth it.
Pogo Pete strikes again. improv funk. To be serious about it, I think what Alex is saying is yes, and is the improv philosophy where you, anytime anyone says something like Pete said football, you agree with it and drive it forward and heighten it and all that. And in the first season, the show always like was rejecting everyone would show up and be like, no, but I want to go do this other thing. So there was no agreement. In this season, in this episode specifically, there's a lot of agreement.
Yeah,
which I really liked. I mean, even when they're fighting, it's funnier. The dialogue is smarter and just crisper, just quicker across the board, whether that's because of the running length or not. But Everybody kind of, again, like, get back to the improv of it all. They just add to each other, particularly a discussion about, I don't remember, is it Five says, has anyone done anything to screw up the timeline?
Yeah.
And then there's this pause, and everybody just starts calling each other out, and it just builds and builds. Very funny and very funny. Fun, but it's not angry. It's more like you were saying, this family dynamic of these siblings being like, well, but he did that and she did that. My thing isn't bad. His thing is bad.
His thing is worse. Yeah.
Well, they're all fucking up. And like the end of the episode, as you said, Alex, like literally they're all going and causing another problem for the time stream. Like Allison telling her husband about her powers, Klaus going back with his cult, them going to meet Hargreaves. Like it's all actively bad for the time stream.
Yeah. Let's jump back to the beginning now. Talk about Pogo. Pete, take it away.
Well, I really like how, because the show really thinks about its creativity. They think about how they're going to present the logo, which is fun. But also they're thinking about how they're putting up their kind of like time cards, their kind of title cards. And the fact that like we saw 1962 from the point of view of this crate, like as Pogo's looking out the crate, I thought that was so cool and creative. And then kind of like the opening the box, and then you see their mom, and like I was like, oh, that's how that all kind of ties in. And I was very excited because I was hoping for some like mom and Pogo adventures, and like, you know, got cut short. But Pogo has a career as an astronaut. And that was
technically real fun
to see, you know. And then the creepy professor dad shows up with the old syringe.
Yeah, that gives him a personality, sort of.
Well, he kind of does a reverse Luther, right? Like Luther got very hurt going out on a mission, and then he got monkey DNA put into him, or whatever Hargreaves was doing. But though it isn't specifically explained, it seems like the opposite is happening with Pogo, right? That he's getting some sort of infusion of human something. Yeah. So that's how when we meet him, he's able to talk. He acts more like a human. Why do you think this is important to see?
That's interesting. That just kind of blew my line a little bit. Do you think like Hargreaves injected Luther into Pogo and then later Pogo into Luther?
Well, Luther wasn't born yet, I don't think, to go into Pogo. But I do think it's a very scientifically sound thing to be like, oh, monkey hurt, make human. Human hurt, make monkey.
Yeah.
Very scientific.
By the way, I'm very excited about the work that you're doing on the coronavirus vaccine.
I'm having a lot of promising things. But watch out, banana stock's going to go way up.
Yeah, because
wait, human hurt, make monkey.
But why do you think this is important to see now, particularly given the fact that they don't follow up on Pogo at any point during the episode, or Mom, and only briefly on Reginald Hargreaves?
Here's why I think it's important for the episode. First off, it's a fun montage. It's cute. It's super interesting. Great. But I think the lesson here of this scene was Pogo is Hargreaves' true son, and the rest of the family are just a project he's working on.
Mm.
So that's why he doesn't really care for them in the same way that he's clearly fathering Pogo at the end of this montage, reading him a story. They have drawings together. They're a true family, while the Umbrella Academy have never been a family. It's just like a series of experiments, basically.
I would like to say I think he's in there because Pogo almost had his Viking funeral, you know, coming down the spaceship on fire. And I think that's why we got to see that a little bit. But I just wondering, like, when you guys have kids now, do you have people coming up to you just telling you how much they hate kids, like Hargreaves did here? I thought that was so crazy, the way he's like, I hate children.
I mean, people do that a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Man. Are you looking to the side, Justin, because your kids are right there?
Yeah, my kids are right there. Very close.
Later on, to talk about that scene, we find out that Luther did, in fact, go to the Umbrella Academy, visited Reginald Hargreaves. They're having a very 60s-style party there.
Oh, man.
He's chipper. He's entertaining people. Luther smells terribly because he has not showered the entire time since he landed in an alleyway.
Yeah.
Hargreaves basically shuts him down, says, I have no interest in this. That's crazy. I would never do that in a million years. And then you get into one of those timeline loop logic things of, wait, did he end up adopting the Umbrella Academy because – Luther suggested it? Did this break the timeline? What's going on there? I don't think we have the information to figure that out yet. Pete, what did you want to say?
The line where Luther was like, but I took a bus, was just as, oh, chef's kiss. That was just fantastic.
Very fun.
I really, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I really fell in love with Luther in this episode.
Yeah. I think it makes sense why Luther dropped off so much when he landed and like just gave up on everything, because he had confronted his father and been told to go screw. And I don't know, like, there, it is interesting that Hargreaves has the line, you big gorilla showing up here, which I think is either an accident telling the future, or Hargreaves is aware of what's happening and is sort of knows that Luther is Luther.
I think they're definitely playing the line there, right? Like, it could go either way. And certainly, I know I've seen the rest of the episode, but certainly we could find out what's going on there in either direction. But they do a good job of that. Like, you never know what his motivations are or what game he's playing, if any game. And that's a nice place to put him. Back on the Luther thing, like you were saying, I love sad sack Luther. I did not like Luther in the first season. Second season, just making him as sad as possible. His enormous tray of eggs, his pad of eggs that he's making is so funny, and him just sitting there and shoving them to his mouth. Everything that he's doing, Tom Hooper, I think, is the actor, is doing this season, is just so funny in every frame. And it's great.
Plus, he went back to the barbecue spot, which was glorious, you know.
Yeah, you got a sharp eye when it comes to seeing barbecue on television, Pete.
Oh, man. Yeah. Nothing it's like almost some like Q.
You can see nothing like some Q.
Whether TV it's barbecue or a lack of tacos, Pogo Pete's on it. I want to talk about Lila a little bit, because some big stuff happens with her in this episode. We kick it off with the fallout of the fight where she protected Five and left Diego to die. It seems like they've kind of broken up this episode. But by episode's end, not only have they tricked the Swedes into dying, Lila and her mom, the handler, but there's a big fight with Five, and Five beats her, potentially. What do you think about this whole arc? What do you think about the character now? Justin, I know you were, I think, a little conflicted when we talked the last episode.
Well, I just want Diego to have a win, and it's hard to tell. It could still go where she actually has feelings for him, but it's not looking good. And I did like at the beginning of the episode where Diego sort of sniffs it out and is like, hey, I noticed you didn't give a fuck about me in that fight. Yeah. And she's like, well, he's a child. And he's like, suspect. And I hope that continues. But I feel like Diego is going to end up maybe not sacrificing himself for her, but somehow doing something stupid, because that's his whole thing, is he does stupid things for the affections of women, whether it's a girlfriend or his robot mom.
Yeah, I think like just the way this kind of like all kicks off where number Five is like, I'm starting to think dad is avoiding us. That was a real fun line. And then he goes right after Lila, like, who are you? Why are you here? You know? Yeah. And then Diego was like, yeah, I noticed that too. Seems real suspect. And they all kind of like walked away, which was very interesting. But I really liked how she was just like, so I can handle myself. That doesn't mean I'm the bad guy here. You know what I mean? And it's true. Like, Lila is really giving Diego not that, like, sure, she's protecting number Five, but she's also going out of her way to help him too. And like, I kind of was a little disappointed in Diego kind of like walked away. Like, I know he's suspect, but like, she's also looking out for him, and that's also obvious. So I hope, and he kind of confesses later on in the episode that he's into her, so I really hope that works out.
It's also confusing where the handler's sort of, what her plan is. Like, she doesn't seem, she wants revenge on Five, it seems like, but she's killed a Swede, which, you know, you can never take lightly.
Yeah, and she's always, like, making stuff, and it's, like, always interesting to be
she
like.
She seems busy.
Yeah, like, when is that going to cash in? Yeah.
Her plans are not clear. It definitely feels like she's kind of flailing everywhere at this point in the season. Perhaps it coalesces at some point, but right now that's certainly where she's at. What'd you think about the Lila Five fight? Because personally, I feel like Five has been in this very straight man going through listen to me apocalypse, blipping in and out role, and we haven't seen a lot from him. So I enjoyed this fight because we finally got to see Five cut loose. What were your takes?
Yeah, I agree. Like, he is, you know, he's a, I think, a 58-year-old man mm-hmm. who spent his whole life as an assassin. So he still has those skills. Everyone is trying to take care of him because he looks like a kid, but he's a tidy badass.
Yeah, I really liked the fight. I thought, like, at first it was real close, and then kind of like five got the upper hand at the end was cool. And there's nothing like, you know, stepping on somebody's neck. That's a great feeling. So I'm glad number five got that a little bit. He got to have that fun.
Yeah, what about, let's move over and talk about Vanya and her storyline. I know we touched on it a little bit, but the whole idea that she gets back home, Sissy is super awkward because Carl is back, even though they've spent a night together. There's this great moment that I thought I really liked a lot where Vanya is just getting angrier and angrier, starting to lose control of her powers again.
Oh my God.
The windows crack, but Harlan lightly touches her hand and calms her down, which is a real reversal there, obviously. Yeah. And then by the end, it seems like Vanya has given up on Sissy, and Sissy has gone back to what is safe for her. What were your feelings about the storyline? Where do you think it's potentially going next?
Well, I mean, Carl had a big day in the, I want to say,
big
faucet.
Big sale, finally, you know.
Faucet selling business.
Mm-hmm. Showers, you know, and accessories, I think it was. Yeah, shower heads.
Shower heads, that's what it is. Which is a faucet for your whole body.
Okay, sure.
Right? That's how you think of it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like to look at it or think about that, but sure.
I always say, hey, time to hit the faucet.
Yeah, time to hit the upstairs faucet. The faucet I can crawl underneath. Because I'm just a stack of vegetables getting clean in the shower.
Oh, that's gross.
That's gonna expand your
when
mind.
When you're taking a shower, do you stand in a sieve as well so that the dirt goes out?
Exactly. Dirt goes out, but I stay. I don't go down the drain.
Exactly.
I don't want to fall down the drain.
Yeah, of course.
You guys have giant showers where you can mess around with the sand.
Very
stuff.
Large sieves.
Yeah. Hard to get a sieve. Big sieve.
Yeah.
Hey, but a sieve's just a bowl with holes in it.
Oh, yeah. My God.
A sieve's just a bad bowl.
Yeah. Search for human sieve on Bed Bath & Beyond, and there's a couple of good options that come up.
Oh, wow.
That's nice. Wow, really? Football. Football reference. Alex coming in with a deep callback, second beat, improv.
Nice.
Hashtag improv.
What were we talking about? Vanya and Sissy?
We got far away from that fast.
Yeah,
we
definitely strayed.
We strayed similar to how Sissy strayed from her husband, though she is heading back to him. Do you think there's hope for this relationship going forward?
Well, that's I was sort of bummed out by this because it was too hard of a turn for, like, why, and it wasn't really clear why Sissy turned, just because Carl shows up when, all in the past, she's been sort of, like, hating Carl and avoiding him and not going along with him. And in this episode, she's suddenly like, fuck this, we had our thing. I mean, maybe it just goes to, like, she was never serious about being with Vanya at all, but I think the previous episodes have told us that she was. So it's a little confusing.
What was tough is she was kind of like, this is a bad time. And we didn't get to hear her side of the story of like what, why. I think she was just trying to do what she thinks is right or what society is deemed is okay for her. She maybe felt brave in the morning or she called it like, oh, that's just morning talk, which was heartbreaking. But I think it was just one of those things where this is what she wanted, but I feel like she didn't like believe in it enough to really sacrifice everything. But I wanted to go back to like during when Harlan is playing doctor, Vanya rips the little thing that breaks the window is the little piece that's making the buzzing noise. Like he's sticking the forceps in there and she like grabs the forceps and throws them out the window using her power. So like he's calming her down, but he's also like, you know, like, okay, that was my bad. I was kind of annoying you, kind of sorry move, you know?
Well, and now, I mean, a piece of her power went into him. So maybe that explains why he's sort of acting a little bit like her in the relationship.
More connected, like, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Not sure what that means, but it's interesting if Vanya cuts ties with Sissy, how will her and Harlan retain their connection?
Yeah. Yeah. Not to jump back to the Carl of it all, but I think he is the problem with the storyline. And when I say problem, that's a little strong. But I think they've made a more realistic decision with him, which is that he's just fine. Like, he's not a bad guy. He's not a good guy. He's just sort of a boring guy. There's nothing terrible about him. Like, he gets a little drunk, but he's not, it's not dramatically interesting, because it's not that I'd want to see this, but like, he's not abusive. He's not a monster. He's just a regular guy. So the reason I say that's more a realistic decision is because, yes, in the real world, Sissy staying with Carl in the 60s, even though she is gay, makes a lot of sense. Like, she would not leave him suddenly. But in terms of watching a TV show and dramatically, it feels like you're choosing this fine option where, so far, based on everything we know with Carl, if Sissy was like, hey, I'm going to leave, he'd be like, okay. You know, that feels like the reaction there. There doesn't feel like there is a lot of danger, a lot for Sissy to give up if she leaves Carl, versus a more dramatic storyline, which would probably be too soap opera, is him being like a big beefy guy who is abusive and is a monster, and she's got to get away from him, and that's why she veers towards Vanya. I like the problem here, I think, is it works better on the side of Vanya and Sissy and that relationship, but once you bring Carl into the equation, it falls apart a little bit in terms of the drama.
Well, yeah. It's also like upsetting that Sissy completely forgets that she's been miserable forever. And she talks like she had this whole monologue about like, my life is awful and I'm barely hanging on. And they could be happy together. And all of a sudden she just doesn't want to do that because the society is bullshit. And it's just like, I don't know. It's just kind of disappointing. Like, all of a sudden, Sissy was like this kind of great character. This could go different places, and then she got too scared about it. So it was kind of tough to watch.
Now, do you think that their relationship would come back if Vanya came home with some big showerhead news?
Yeah. Well, that's, I think you're right. I mean, realistically, we're forgetting about showerhead news and how exciting that is. And when you're around that, like how you get wrapped up in it and don't want to live anywhere else.
Exactly. Like maybe she's just sweating that showerhead cache. And she's like,
can't help it.
Yeah. I mean, showerheads are like inside rain. That's what I call them. So it's really cool that.
I agree with that.
Oh, good. Okay. Makes sense. Yeah. Upstairs faucet, nonsense. Inside rain, good.
Gold.
Yeah. That happens to me every time. Every time I turn the shower on, I start screaming for my wife and tell her that it's raining inside, and she has to remind me. It's just to grab the sieve and go to town, you know?
Alex, give me the umbrella. You're meant to take a shower. You're supposed to get wet.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know, man. That's what I always say to my life. I don't know, man. It's my catchphrase. What else should we talk about? We could probably talk about that fun dance sequence that we touched on earlier. Just great stuff.
Twist in the night away.
Yeah, Vanya. Just a fun scene in the hair salon. Like you were saying, I think Klaus really is the linchpin there, and not that Ellen Page or Emmy Raver Lampman are, excuse me, bad by any means, but Robert Sheehan's energy that he brings to the scene. Sorry, I think they got very mad at me and they just texted me.
Yeah, don't die.
So hard. No, Robert Sheehan's energy just like really brings that scene together. And it feels like it's a Klaus scene that they're feeding off of in a really fun way.
Yeah, and I like that there's a great line that Klaus had, I think, that the best relationship in the Umbrella Academy is Five and his mannequin.
Yeah, that was hysterical. That whole speech where he's like, we're all horrible relationships, you know, and like, oh, man. But I'm for the first time ever, I'm mad at Klaus. His excluding Ben in this episode was just heartbreaking. And then Ben being like sitting there in the circle, like going, I've missed all you guys. And the fact that Klaus is purposely excluding him for that, because Ben had that hilarious line when Klaus's storyline starts of like, how many rock bottoms did you want to hit? You know, and that was hysterical. And then to get him back from that, Klaus has been just kind of like really shunning him. And when number Five asked if he was there and he said, no, he can't time travel, I was just heartbroken. I was like, come on, Klaus, you're better than this.
Well, maybe Klaus is trying to encourage Ben's like stand up comedy career. Mm-hmm. Since he's zinging him with the rock bottoms. Maybe it's like, hey, go be the ghost Seinfeld. Go be the ghost Dave Chappelle.
Wow. Great references.
Before we start to wrap up here, though, anything else you want to touch on? We talked about the Swedes a little bit. Fun action sequence with them in the woods.
Yeah.
Loved the Hello Swedish cover. That was one of my favorite music cues the show has ever done. I thought that was so much fun. Any other notes you want to mention? Yes, Pete.
Yeah, so I want to talk a little bit about the Diego and Luther kind of walking down the street and the way Diego kind of sums up his father. It's like, he's an asshole, I'm awesome, like really funny stuff. And then when Luther comes out, it's like, well, why can't you let JFK go and the whole thing? And then they get handed, you know, because Diego's like, we're on the right path. And he's like, what do you mean? And then they get handed the envelope. And then Luther's line of like, a light supper. Like, that was just hysterical.
Very
like,
funny.
The back and forth between Luther and Diego is really magical. Yeah, and, like, I don't know. I was really impressed with this episode as a whole. Like, there was a lot of really great small moments. I was just really impressed with it. I also really liked how we got, like, a lot more number five kind of explaining his thoughts and concerns, and like even gave Hazel a shout out, like Hazel died for this information.
For a second I was like, who's Hazel?
Oh man.
And I feel like that was the vibe in the room. It's like, so what, we're not, that's over, dude.
Yeah, like Chill Vanya is a lot of fun, and like Allison digging Diego with that little hi Allison, you know, like that was just when they're together and kind of like being able to be brother and sister, it's really magical.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there are two major issues that we haven't touched on yet. Number one, what's up with the rat cats? All the cats in this episode are disgusting.
Okay, what? Oh, yeah, the Swedes rat cats. Yeah,
the Swedes rat cats. Like, what's up? Is that a Swedish thing or a Texas thing or a 60s thing?
No, it's a Swedish thing. If you've ever been to IKEA, it's just full of disgusting cats.
Oh,
wow. Yeah, I guess it's yet another reason not to go. Mm-hmm. Secondly, they're eating some Jello here.
Yeah, what is that?
Oh, yeah, that was ambrosia, like right?
Yeah, ambrosia, which a very popular dish where I'm from in upstate New York. I have family picnics. When we used to have those, someone inevitably would bring ambrosia.
Oh.
Which is Jello with whipped cream on it, essentially.
And like and chunks some other of fruit, tapioca. Right?
Yeah, there's pineapple in there.
Mm. That's gross, man.
Yeah, that does look gross.
Well, you know what's gross especially is Jello. And we touch on it a little bit here.
Jello is not gross.
It's made of bones. They take bones and animal hides and that and boil it down and they're like, let's make this into a snack? Who thought of that?
This would be good if it was lime flavored.
Exactly. Whose idea was this? Let's make this green and give it to kids? You're feeding kids bones.
Here's what I bet happened, right? They were making a delicious lime bone broth, and then they left it out too long, and it turned into Jello. And they were like, we should put some fruit floating in this. What do you think?
That's what I've, were they, because I guess Jello is a thing where they like, oh, this jiggles, we should give this to kids? Or are they like, we got to feed these kids bones somehow. Let's make it Jello.
That does remind me that I have packets of orange Jello that have been sitting in my cabinet for, I want to say conservatively, 10 years at this point. I should probably make some today.
Nice. Those old bones will last forever.
Oh, these old bones.
But let me ask you, as an adult, do you eat Jello? Like if you were at somewhere and it's a Jello, not Jello shots, obviously we'll take a Jello shot.
Sure.
But would you eat Jello just like, oh, here's some Jello?
I prefer pudding.
Yes, of course. You're a normal human, so of course you prefer pudding.
No, Jell-O's fantastic, man.
But pudding's made from eyeballs. Did you know that?
That's where the expression, use every part of the Jell-O, comes from.
Yeah. So wait, Pete, you like Jell-O?
Yeah.
Tell me in what capacity or what flavor?
I don't know. I mean, you know, if you got some red Jell-O, that's going to be some good time.
Like if someone was like, hey, I'm in the hospital, you'd be like, save me the Jell-O?
Hell yeah. I would be like, yo, if you don't want that Jell-O, I'll eat it. No doubt about it.
Pete, would you go into the hospital slowly and just hold the pillow over to their mouth and then take the Jell-O when it was all done?
This is my Jell-O.
I haven't hit that rock bottom yet, but you know, I'll keep you posted.
Would How many you rock hold the you pillow over them, take their Jell-O, and then turn their bones into Jell-O?
See, that's using the whole. That's right using there. The whole that's buffalo. Right
But I think, Justin, the other thing you wanted to talk about is the power of tacos. Like tacos can. You know, like stop people in their tracks, make
they
them
don't even
like, be like
get tacos.
Hey, what's that?
They don't even get tacos. But let me tell you this, what a great confluence of two things. A friend of mine, they're over where I used to live in like downtown Brooklyn, Carroll Gardens area.
Right.
There was a Taco Bell in the hospital, and one of my roommates would go to the hospital and get the Taco Bell.
Wow.
And I was like, that's disgusting.
That's brave. That's bravery, and that's a love brave. Of Taco Bell.
I'll tell you, if I was in the hospital, I can't think of anything I would want less than Taco Bell.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I know. I don't know, but the Long Island College Hospital, hospital that has since been shut down because it was very bad, had a Taco Bell in it. It was the only Taco Bell in the area.
It was a combination Pizza Hut, Taco Bell Hospital, right?
Oh, yeah, my exactly.
God. I'm and at most the Pizza Hut.
The most professional people there were the Pizza Hut employees, let me be honest.
Oh.
Yes. That's I went there and they actually removed one of my moles.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I went to, I was getting a shot and it turned out to be a sour cream from the Taco Bell.
Oh, man.
Very unhealthy.
Oh, man. But really taste your major bones.
Yeah, I thought this was... Yeah. I thought this was a great app, and the Viking funeral was legit. I was wondering, you know, do you guys want, when you die, you want a Viking funeral, or what are you thinking?
No, I'd love a Swedish funeral where they turn you into little meatballs, put some gravy on you.
Yeah.
Serve you to your friends. Good. Super cheap.
Nice.
As I've stated in my will, I am going to be stuffed and placed behind Pete for the rest of his natural life when I die.
So creepy.
I'm going to use whatever savings I have to hire a sort of a monkey butler to move me wherever you go, Pete, just a couple feet behind you.
Before we wrap up here, who got top marks this episode? Pete, why don't you kick it off? Who are you giving top marks to?
This is tough. I really liked Luther in this episode, but Diego, I'm going to edge him out. And since I'm not happy with Klaus and his treatment of Ben, I'm going to go with Diego. The whole him kind of being like, no, Vanya, the last time I was with Vanya, she was choking the life out of me. That was hysterical. And Diego's like kind of line with Luther won me over. So, yeah, I'm saying Diego.
Justin?
I got to give it up for Klaus. Sorry to take your answer, Alex, but he's the pectin that holds this team together. I love him. He's very funny, and I am concerned he is going to be the one that is disrupting the time stream. Quick theory, I think no one's to blame. They're all fucking it up. That's my theory.
Yeah.
Yeah, that definitely seems fair. Man, I was going to pick Klaus, but instead I think I'll go for Adele or whoever did the Swedish cover of Hello. Love it. Obsessed with it. Stuck in my head. I don't know the Swedish lyrics, but it's just going round and round since I watched that episode. So there you go. But otherwise, Klaus, just that hair salon scene is such a delight to watch. So much fun. And such a great character. And like you said, I'm worried about what's going to happen and whether he's actually going to be able to break up with his cult or not, because it certainly seems like he's enjoying the adoration at the end of the episode. And folks, that's it. If you'd like to support our podcast, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Crowdcast on YouTube. Come hang out, chat with us about Umbrella Academy. Socially at Podcademy on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe and listen to the show. Comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Hey, from all of us here at Crazy Glue and the Tip, go listen to some Upstairs Rain and just have vibe out.